Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. It's Friday night. I'm Skip Etheridge, and it's my privilege to introduce Brother Bill Schell to you tonight. He's an evangelist, singer, songwriter. We just enjoy having Brother Bill up here every Friday night. He's been a blessing to the ministry and personally as well. We're going to play a song before we turn over Brother Bill, and after that, Brother Bill, it's all yours.
Yonder, I love no way, 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 I love no Good evening, everybody. It's good to be with you tonight and to get to share the word of the Lord. We pray that you've had a great day. We trust that you've had a great day. We've had many prayer requests that's been coming in, and we've certainly been remembering those and are continuing to remember those. And we certainly want you to know that tonight, that we always pray for those requests that keep coming in. It's an honor to be able to call upon the name of the Lord and lift up those needs that are identified, that is the opportunity for us to call upon the Lord on their behalf. So that's an honor. So we always continue with that. We're thankful for what God is doing. God's at work. I'm going to tell you tonight that God is at work. He's at work in my life, your life, and everybody else around us. Some people don't see that yet. Some people don't recognize that. But even if they're far from God, God is at work in their life, because he is at work trying to get them to trust him, to try to get them to have a relationship with him. So even if they're far from God, God's at work in their life. They just don't know it. But it's an absolute truth. So tonight, be encouraged. God's at work in your life, in your situation, for whatever that your need is. And that's great good news this night. I'm going to talk to us just for a while tonight and share with, just remind you of some things that you already know. Not going to teach anything new to you tonight at all. But I do pray that the Word of God will challenge us as we look at this Word tonight. This is where we're going. We're going to the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament chapter number two of the book of Isaiah, and verse number 3. Getting everything turned around here already. That's not a good start, is it? But chapter number 2 of the book of Isaiah and verse number 3, and this is what it says. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Or let us go up where the Lord is. That's what it's saying to us. To the house of God. To the house of the God of Jacob. Let me just start over with that, where I don't get it quite so confused. And many people shall go up and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. If I was going to pick one thing or two things out of this verse, it would be this, that in the house of the Lord, the Lord's going to teach us his ways, and then we'll walk in his paths. So the Lord's going to teach us, and we're going to walk where he tells us to walk. That's easy to talk about. You know what? I'm going to tell you something tonight from personal experience. It's not quite as easy to do as it is to talk about. We need to get beyond talking about it and start doing it. So here's the truth, and this is what we wanted to get to before we pray. I want you to know something tonight. When it comes to learning God's ways are always right, even when it doesn't seem practical. Now that's a mouthful. God's ways are always right, even when it doesn't seem practical. So Isaiah's saying, we're going up to the house of the Lord. We're going to bask in the presence of God. And he's going to teach us his ways. Does that mean we're going to understand them? Does that mean we're always going to agree with them? Does that mean that it is subject to whether we want to do it or not that way? No, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. God's going to teach us his ways, and we need to be willing to walk in the way that he teaches us, whether we understand it or whether we don't. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Let it speak to our heart this night. I pray, God, you'd challenge us. I know, Lord, I'm right where you have led us to be. I know the word you've given us is what's right for this hour. I pray, Lord, that you would use it to speak to hearts tonight, Father, all across the land. God, be with each one of them. We lift up those prayer requests again that's been coming in, Father. Be with each of them. It's been sons and daughters and grandchildren and friends and neighbors and associates in the church and work situations and finances. And God, the list just goes on. We lift them up to you tonight. We lift up those tonight, Father, that need your protection. They're on the road. God, be with them. Put angels around them and guard them. Keep them safe tonight. There's some at home, Lord, tonight. They need your protection, too. Put angels around them and guard them, we pray. And, Father, let us truly this night, let us identify that we are hearing the way of the Lord. And this night, we're going to make our mind up that we're going to walk therein. Thank you for it. Pray you bless this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I thought about this a great deal for the past 3 or 4 days because I knew where we were going in the scripture about the reality that God's way is always right, even when it doesn't seem practical. And my mind could go so many different directions tonight in thinking about that very thought, and I promise you that yours could too. But I went way back and I found a story of years gone by that was talking about a captain on a ship. And this captain on the ship, in many years ago, traveled back and forth across the Atlantic Ocean, made many trips that direction. And he was a captain on a passenger vessel, by the way, and always had people around, always inquisitive about what they were doing. And one day they were talking, and they happened to notice that there were two compasses on that ship. There was one compass that was near where the ship would be steered from. It would be right down where they could get an eye view right directly on it. And they would look at that, but just very, very often, they would send one of the sailors that was on that ship up the mast beam. He would climb that mast from the deck of the ship and go up to the top of the mast that was high above the deck. And it, at the top of that mast, there was another compass. And they periodically would go up and check that compass with the one, against the one, that was down on the deck where they were driving the ship from. And one person that came up and they asked the captain, "Why do you have two compasses on this ship? Why are they here?" The captain announced to them, "This is an iron vessel. And the compass that we have that is here on the deck is affected by its surroundings. everything that's going on down here, and the iron that's in this ship, all of its surroundings, are affecting the operation of that compass. Pardon me. Such is it is with the case with us. Everything around us affects us. And he identified that was the case with that compass. But he said, you know what the difference is? The compass that's high above the ship is not affected by the surroundings of down here. They seem to be isolated from all of the impurities that are around it. So he says, in reality, we steer by the higher compass. And you know what? Isn't that kind of what we need to be doing? We are affected by everything that's going on around us, and sometimes we have a biased opinion because we logically look at what's happening and we try to figure things out in our intellectual mind as to how we think things should go, and we apply that to most every situation in life. But the truth is, our thoughts and our attitudes and our vision is truly affected by the surroundings that is around us. But we have a higher compass, one that is always on the mark, always correct, always knows the right direction, that is not influenced by the obstacles of life, and has a clear understanding of the direction that we should be going. That's who God is. We're going to go up to the house of the Lord. God's going to teach us His ways. And then we're going to walk in His ways. Oh, how good that sounds. How wonderful that sounds. And I pray we're doing that tonight. But you know what? The surroundings sometimes impact what we in reality do against what we say we're going to do. God's ways are always right, even when facing overwhelming obstacles in life. I'm going to give you scripture reference tonight. I'm not going to give you opinion. I went back to the book of Joshua, and I found the account that's given to us in the book of Joshua, chapter number 6, starting in verse number 1. I want to read just a very few verses here. It says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said, now get this, and the Lord said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hands Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor, and you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about that city once. Thus shall you do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpet. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of that city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And the Lord said, Joshua, here's what I want you to do. See, Joshua, in a sense, was at the Lord's house. And God was teaching him his ways. And I can only imagine, as he was there and he was listening to the voice of the Lord saying, Joshua, here's the way we're going to do this. We're going to go up and we're going to march around that city one time for 6 days. And on the seventh day, we're going to go around that city seven times, and we're going to blow the trumpets, and we're going to shout, and Joshua, the walls are going to fall flat on that city. And I'm sure Joshua said, yeah, that's just the way I do it. I'm sure that the people, the children of Israel said, now that sounds like a great plan. That should really work. I can see right, why didn't we think of that? That's got to work. You know what? I really, in my own mind, imagine that very few thought that. I would say most of them would say, hey, wait a minute here. That's not practical. That can't work. Now, let's talk about this a little bit, Joshua. That we know that's a walled city. In fact is, that city has got two walls. And they are 15 feet apart. The outer wall of the city of Jericho was 6 feet thick. And the inner wall of that city was 12 feet thick. Those walls were 30 feet high. There were houses that were built across the top of those two walls that connected them together. 15 feet apart, the span in between. There were houses built across. Two walls, one 6 feet thick, the other was 12 feet thick, and they were 30 feet tall. Yes, sir, Joshua, that's got to be the way to do it. That's got to work. Now, why on earth would they think that there would be any possibility that would work? There isn't but one way. There isn't but one reason that they would have to believe that would work. And that is this. God said it would. God said, this is what you're to do. It didn't matter that they would think or even say, if any of them did, that's not practical. It didn't make any difference what they thought. This was God's way. This is what God was teaching them to do. This was the voice of the Lord. They were learning God's ways. Oh, today we need to learn God's ways when we are in the midst of the battle, when we are facing the obstacles of life and the difficulties of decision, and we wonder what we're going to do. The battle is raging hot, and then we consult God, and God said, this is how that you're going to win the victory, and we say, God, that won't work. What gives us the right? God says it will work. It don't have to be practical. We don't even have to understand it. We just have to be obedient to do what God would have us to do. God's way is always right, even when it does not seem practical. Well, give me another example. Prove that to me again, if you can. Well, I can. I can go page after page after page, and I can prove it to you time and time and time again. I turned over today into the book of Daniel in chapter number 3. And I began to read there. I read several chapters there in Daniel, but chapter 2 and chapter 3 primarily was where I was studying from. But I began to look at what they were facing. And I saw there in Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse number 5, that the great battle, the great turmoil of decision came against those three Hebrew children as they were there facing the perplexities of life. And God said, don't you compromise my word. Don't you compromise the position that I have placed you in. I'm watching over you, and I'm taking care of you. Don't you compromise by turning to the world for what the world declares is correct. Don't you do it, because I've got my hand upon you. And we begin to see that there they were. There were three young men. And the Bible says that the Bible calls them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But now I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm going to enlighten you just a little bit, and I'm sure that you already know this. I'm sure that those three young men did not go by those names. I am 100% confident in what I'm telling you this night. We know that whenever they were taken captive from Israel, we know that they had Christian names. They were named Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and we know that the other one was named Daniel. There were four of those young men that the Bible talks about clearly. We understand from historical evidence that any time that someone was captured from one nation to another, that they were renamed. And they were renamed as a significant message that your God was not strong enough to protect you against my God. My God is more powerful than your God. So in an effort to demonstrate our faith in our God, we're going to rename you. So no longer, Daniel, are you going to be called Daniel. Daniel was renamed Belteshazzar. And you're going to find that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah was renamed to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I hear today, and I'm going to say it, and this isn't going to be a popular statement. Don't hold anybody else accountable to it. Just hold me. I hear that phrase taught and used so often in the church in telling the story and in the songs that have sung Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and it absolutely sickens my stomach. Those were Muslim names that were given to those young men. They were renamed, identifying that their God was not victorious, was not practical. I promise you, when those men were by themselves, they were not in the Babylonian crowd. They were not calling each other Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were calling each other Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And I can promise you that tonight. But when we look at that, that's just a sidebar here. And don't get mad at anybody else. Get mad at me. That's absolute truth. But when we look at this tonight, we can see that they had heard the voice of God. And God said, even though the enemy comes against you and tell you that you cannot win, you are going to be defeated, you're going to be cast into that furnace, and you're going to be burned up as the chaff of the field, don't you believe it, because I am teaching you my ways, and when you do not compromise my ways, when you stand firm to my teachings and lean not to your own understanding, you will come out victorious. The Word says, and you know that story, that they were cast into that furnace. Now, what a plan. I could see real quick whenever they begin to communicate with God, whenever they seen they was heating the furnace 7 times hotter than they ever had before, I can almost imagine as they went before God and said, "Are you sure about this?" But they being unwilling to compromise their faith, my friend, they saw the power of God unleashed in their life unlike any other time before, unlike any other experience. The flames were hot, so hot that it killed even the ones that threw them in the furnace, but they remained unharmed. And the Word says, didn't even smell like smoke. Now, that's not practical. You know what? You may be in the midst of the flames. Let me tell you something. You may feel the heat directly. Don't you compromise. Don't you compromise God's way. Don't you trust in something other than the authority of God. Because God's way is right. You may have to go through the fire. Some of the rest of us have had to go through it too. You may have to go through the fire, but you're not going through it alone. God's ways are right, even when it doesn't seem practical, even when it doesn't make sense. What about it? Is there anything else that you can point to and tell us that God's ways are right, even when it doesn't seem practical? Yes, there happened to be. I'm glad you asked, because there is another one that I thought of today whenever I was thinking about this Word tonight. I thought about this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now tell me what's practical about that. Tell me what's practical about Him offering His own Son as a sacrifice for a sinner like me. Tell me what's practical about that. What makes any sense at all? I don't understand that. But see, here's the truth. I'm learning God's ways. And God's ways says, that's what He did. See, that's what He did. Jesus Christ came, took on the fleshly robe of mankind, carried sin to the cross. It wasn't His sin. It was mine. That's not practical, that He would care for me that way, that He would love me that much. But I went to the house of the Lord, and I've heard the Lord directly say, this is how He did it. I don't make sense that He could love me that much. But it's God's way. So I don't have to make sense. It does not have to make sense. God still moves in ways that just doesn't seem practical. We could sit here all night. We could compare notes. We could share the testimony of what God has done, what God is doing. We could even envision what we see God doing. But I tell you, what's not smart to do, it's not smart to sit around and waste your time questioning God's plan for you. Neither is it mine. Oh, it might not seem practical. In my world, from where I sit, We've been through stuff in the past months, and I'm going to tell you something. It hasn't seemed practical to me. Seemed very real. It hasn't seemed practical. But see, here's what I've made my mind up. I've made my mind up that I've got to trust God because His ways are right. Even if they don't seem practical. And even if I don't understand, the fact remains God is still teaching His ways. He is. He's still teaching His ways. Now the question is, are we like those that Isaiah talked about? We're going to walk in them. We're going to walk in the ways of the Lord. We're going to trust Him. We're going to depend upon Him. Even when it don't make sense. Doesn't seem practical. Don't see how it could work. Our opinion really doesn't matter. Because, see, God's ways are not our ways. And it's evident our ways aren't God's ways. I want to be steering by the higher compass that sees the direction of life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the word. God, you've given us word tonight that is worth adhering to. Lord, we don't understand always your way, your will. But God, we do know that you are right. And even when we don't understand that, give us the courage to take your word at value. Help us to learn your ways and to walk the way you would have us to. Tonight, if there's someone never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, let them this night call upon the name of Jesus by praying this prayer. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sin and come into my heart. Teach me your ways. Help me to walk in your way. You told us that you will come into our heart if we call and ask. I'm calling. I'm asking. Come into my heart this night. And I praise you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for coming into my heart and forgiving my sins this night. Thank you, Lord. Help me to walk in your way. And Lord, if there's those tonight that's learning your ways, give them the strength, the courage, the abilities to walk in your ways this night, I pray. Guide every step. Father, bring the victories in every life. That, Lord, as we see your way laid out before us and your plan revealed, let us walk in the victory that you have for us because it's your way. Father, help us not to question it. Help us just to do it. And we thank you, Lord, tonight for this chance to walk in your way. Direct us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for letting us share with you the word this night. God bless each of you.
Thank you, Brother Bill. If you listening tonight or a later date and you said that prayer with Brother Bill and you asked Jesus into your heart, and you meant it. That's the key right there. You have to be sincere. You have to want to accept Jesus. You can't say that prayer and go back to living just the way you were. So if you said that prayer and you meant it tonight, you just made the best decision of your life, we'd love to hear from you. We've got a Bible for you and some literature to help you in your new walk with the Lord. Maybe you didn't say the prayer. Maybe you wished you had it, but you've got some questions. You just need to talk to someone. Give us a call or a text in either case at 816-729-6649. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to know more about us, go to our website, extendedhandsofgod.org. All our contact information is there. We also have a free mobile app we encourage you to download. Just go to your app store for your iPhone or your Android, search Extended Hand of God and download it. These sermons and testimonies that are put on our website through our app, we've made them downloadable. So feel free. You can download them. You can share them with friends or family. We also can get you on a mailing list to receive some free CDs on a regular basis, totally free of charge. We just want to thank you for joining us here at Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries tonight, and God bless.